Welcome to the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. We're getting ready to have an old-fashioned line-on-line, precept-on-precept study of God's Word to search out those deeper truths and gain a greater understanding of the Bible. We would love for you to join us today as we dig in and learn what it is that God would truly have us to understand from the letter that He wrote to us. Hello there, and God bless you. Welcome into the study today. We're going to be doing a special study. We're going to be covering the subject of Christmas. You know, it seems that this time of year, there's always some type of controversy or confusion over what it is actually that we're celebrating and how it is that Christians should react to it. Now, the book of Luke, chapter 1, is where we're going to do the majority of our study today, but it provides a very clear understanding of what happened through the year as far as births and conceptions and so on and so forth. So we ask for clarity and understanding from our Father in Jesus' name. We're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely beloved among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, this most excellent Theophilus, to translate that, means beloved of God. So what Luke is saying is, I had a very clear understanding of basically the gospel. And so I know it has been set forth before you, but I wanted to give an account of what he saw also, is what he's saying. And he's writing it to you because you are beloved of God. Verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which wherein thou hast been instructed, being the gospel. Verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Now that's very important that you understand what the course of Abiah is. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, let's cover this course of Abiah right quick. In 1 Chronicles chapter 24, we're given the 24 courses that the priest would serve. And what it has to do with is the priest would go, depending on their course, and they would serve 1 week in the temple. And then it would go from Sabbath to Sabbath, and whenever they were done, they would go home. Now they served twice a year, not to mention also all the major feast days, Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles. But during the courses, the reason why I say it's very important to know that is because that gives you a date. The course of Abiah, you can read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, was the eighth course. Now, the eighth course began the first time around, or his first course would have been December 6th through the 12th, and the second time would have been June 13th through the 19th. Now, we're going to focus in on the June. The reason for that, I'll call out here in a little bit when we get to the birth of John the Baptist. Now, we'll move forward. Let's go on to verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, this being Zacharias and Elizabeth, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, that being the course of Abiah, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. Now, this was an old custom that whenever the priest would burn incense, the people would gather outside and pray. And it was their belief that as the incense rose, it would take their prayers with them and God would hear it. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel, this would be Gabriel, of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Naturally, because he will be the one calling in the wilderness. Verse 15, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, we'll see that here in just a little bit when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. Verse 16, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that being Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. One thing about that is you see, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's plural. Now you think about that. We have our father, but then there are some that claim a different father, a false father, that being Satan. And so he's coming to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's those that have given their heart to Christ and given their life to God. But then there's some that aren't. So there are some that are prepared, that are getting ready. But this is also saying that there's some that won't ever do that. Verse 18, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now he's doubting him here. That's not good. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. They were kind of getting worried about him because he'd been in there a while. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them. Basically, he was given sign language. He was trying to spell it out for them, but he couldn't say anything and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now, if we take that it was between June 13th and June 19th, add 7 days to that, and you're looking at around the 20th to the 26th as far as when he would be leaving the temple. Also, if you take into account that he's leaving on a Sabbath, he couldn't travel that day. And more than that, it would probably take him a couple of days. It was about 30 miles to his house, so it would take him a couple of days to get there. Verse 24, And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. Now this 5 months puts us on up to November. The end of November. Verse 26, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month, this puts us in December. This is right around the time of year that we're in right now. Verse 27, To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, naturally, she would be blessed among women because not only is she going to be able to conceive, but it's going to be the Lord. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, this is a bit of an irony here, that Mary is going to be giving birth to the Lord and has never known a man, almost as she's too young, not necessarily too young, but it's too early for this to have happened. Whereas with John the Baptist, his parents were too late for this to have happened. So it's miracles naturally on both sides. Verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, if we back up to 36, this was Mary's cousin. She was her first cousin. Naturally, she was Mary's mother's sister's daughter. That's how we come to that. Verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. John the Baptist leapt in the womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this? This was because Mary has conceived. She is just a few days within conception. And as she walked in, that spirit of that babe in her womb filled Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit and made John the Baptist to leap in the womb. Now, a lot of people wonder where life begins at. That's a very good idea right there, that life begins at conception. The Spirit is in the womb at conception. Verse 42, And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. That six-month-old babe that's inside her womb even heard and jumped and leapt. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And we do to this day. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud of the imaginations of their hearts. Pretty much what that saying is, those that are proud of in their hearts, that believe their own things, he scattered them. So he's allowed them to believe those false things. Verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich have been set empty away. What this is meaning, if you look at this on a spiritual level, the hungry, to be hungry, that means you're yearning for this truth. Amos 8, chapter 11 says that the famine of the end times will not be for food or for bread, but for the true word of God. To be hungry and to be filled is to be filled with that truth. And to be rich, it's not bad to be rich with God's blessings, but if you are, what this is talking about is someone who could care less about God and has received their fortune from not necessarily the greatest way of living, I guess you could say, well, then they're not going to care about God, and they're going to just go on their way, and spiritually they'll be empty. Verse 54, He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That'd be Genesis 17:5, whenever he spoke to Abraham about this. And Mary abode with her 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, at 3 months, that brings Elizabeth full term, and that puts us into around March 25th or so. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, now this is another important time, the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Now, why is this eighth day so important? If you take that this time is the last week of March, then you put your 8 days on there. This takes us to Passover. So this is a monumental, that is the highest Sabbath of the year. And it's when John the Baptist is going to be circumcised. So that just kind of drives this point home a little more. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, "His name is John." Now, you know he wasn't going to back up this time. He's ready to talk again. He wants to make sure the boy's name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, horns are always symbolic of power because they are external. You see a deer or a big ox or a bull with a big set of horns, you know, they look mighty and they look powerful. That's where the horn of salvation and the horns on the altars come from. On the throne. Verse 70. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, all the way back before the catapult, back in that first world age, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, not just some of them, but all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. There's no reason to fear serving God. 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. We'll document that. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the days of his showing unto Israel. Now, this is naturally when John the Baptist was born, and we bring it all the way to Passover with that. Now, when Christ was born, that would be 3 months later. So that would be the end of September. At the end of September, the important thing about that is you have the Feast of Tabernacles. and at the close of the Feast of Tabernacles would have been around the time that Christ was circumcised. Most likely would have been the time that he was circumcised. Therefore, it lines up perfectly with God's Sabbaths whenever you place the conception at this time of the year. Now, some might say, well, that takes away from, you know, giving the presents and celebrating Christ, but it really doesn't. Because as it clearly showed, conception, their life begins at conception. Therefore, whenever Christ was in the womb, that was God in the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to turn over there so I don't misquote this, because it's very important to understand this. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Therefore, when she conceived, God was with us. That is a great thing to celebrate. Now, I mentioned that Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Why is this important? Many draw the genealogy of Christ in Matthew. In Luke chapter 3, there is the true genealogy of Christ. Now, why do I say the true genealogy of Christ? We're going to go to Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And verse 23 reads, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli." Now, who is this Heli? Because Joseph was not the son of Heli. This was his in-laws. This was Mary's dad. So here you receive the true genealogy of Christ, which is also known as the key of David. To understand this genealogy and to be able to follow this down through the years, through the generations, then you can better understand how this lines up and what groups are not in this that claim to be in this, as they would say, that claim to be of your brother Judah, but are not and do lie, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, as you work your way back through here, you see that Heli goes back to Nathan, which was the son of David, which is different than Matthew. You see, Joseph, yes, he was the son all the way back to Solomon, the son of David. But Joseph had nothing to do with Christ other than being his adopted dad. Truthfully, genetically, biologically, Mary had all the flesh in her. And God put the spirit. So Joseph had no interaction in that. That's why this is so crucial. This is why this is so important. That being said, from Heli came David, the king line, the king of kings. Now, why did I say it was important to understand that Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins on Mary's mother's side? That's because Mary's mother would have been a daughter of Aaron. If her sister, which was Elizabeth's mother, would have also been a daughter of Aaron. They were pure Levites. Now, the daughters of Aaron could marry outside of the priest line or of the Levitical tribe, but a priest could not marry outside of it. So that's how Mary would be married to Joseph. Therefore, Christ would be King of Kings through Heli and Lord of Lords through Mary's mother. That's where this title comes from. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you got something out of it. Maybe a little more clarity over this time of year, this season, and what it is that we celebrate. And I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. If you have any questions that you'd like to be answered on the podcast, you can email us at questions@humansundergrace.com, or you can write to us at Humans Under Grace, P.O. Box 1467, Tatum, Texas 75691. Thank you, and God bless you.